Well, you can see we have chairs up here today. Tirsa's coming up with me. We went away. I'm sure that you heard last week. We just returned from IGAP, which is the international gathering of apostles and prophets. That's what's called IGAP. At Christian International. Now, for those of you who are not aware of what Christian International is, Christian International has been around for, I don't know, probably 60 years, I would say. Bishop Hammond is now, did he say he was 80 or 90?
80.
And he's still just as sharp and just as long-winded as ever. And he is brilliant.
Yeah.
He is brilliant. He is an apostle. And he's also a prophet. But he has been speaking things into the atmosphere way before anybody could even understand them. And then it's like time catches up with what he's released because he's heard the word of the Lord. So any time that I've been around him, there's always an impartation from him. And his family has been raised up under him. And so Jane and Tom are the pastors of Vision Church that are at Christian International. And then they have gatherings for prophets, and they teach and train. Then this is where 32 years ago, no, longer than that. Anyway, longer than that. Oh, I'm not even going to tell you how longer than that. I went there because of this, because a prophet called me out at a service and said, "You're a prophet to the nations, and this is why you've never understood who you are or what you are, because you didn't fit into normal church, and people didn't know what to do with you." And that was always true, because I saw things black and white. I couldn't understand why people couldn't see what I was seeing, but I didn't know why. I just thought I was, you know, judgmental or something. And so, long prophecy to me that went inside of me. The next day they stuck me in a room and made me prophesy to people, which I was up all night making sure I wasn't going to go to hell because this had to be God. The next day I functioned in prophecy. Now the Bible says all can prophesy. Say all can prophesy.
All.
Yeah. And all prophecy is the ability to hear from God and then speak it out. It is a gift of God, one of the gifts of the Spirit of God. And when you get saved, you have the Spirit within you. And so you can speak out, but you have to many times be trained how to hear the voice of God. So God is always speaking. It's just whether or not you've been trained to listen to what he's saying. So for many years, I have taught and been a part of Christian International, and I've taught classes on prophetic and how to hear to God and how to prophesy to other people. And much like if you were going to be a pastor, you have to learn how to write a sermon and direct it, right? Okay, so it's not unusual. I'm trying to break down any mindsets that you may have here. Now, the office of a prophet is one of the fivefold ministry gifts, which is the five gifts that God has given to govern over the church: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Okay, now those gifts govern the church body, but the body of Christ is just as important as the fivefold. Do you understand that? So there's no like hierarchy as far as value. There is a hierarchy as far as how it runs. Do you understand? Okay, so when you understand that, the fivefold ministry is given for the training of the body of Christ so that they can also do ministry. So everything that the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist do is so that you, everyone that knows Jesus, can function properly, okay? All right, so now, throughout the years, whenever I go back to Christian International, you get an infusion, and we were there for 5 days. And so morning, noon, and night, they have services. You know that the elders, leaders, some of the leaders went. And the Burgesses went, hallelujah, I was happy. And just so everybody is clear, Tirsa is called to be a prophet. She's probably going to hit me for this later. But she has been commissioned by God to be a prophet, prophetess, whatever. I just get tired of saying S on the end. Okay, prophetess, she's a woman. All right, so we're not confused about that. We know she's a woman, so if I wanted to be proper, I'd say I'm a prophetess. She's a prophetess. Let's just say prophet, and we'll be done with it, okay? Because we function in that office. Okay, so anyway, when we went, there was so much that so many people got it. And so I wanted to give. Today is not a day of information. The problem of the church as we've been operating in it is that we have been really good at bringing information, is what you were going to say, bringing information and taking it in and doing nothing with the information, except for knowing it. So what? Well, you know, we're educated. Great. What are you doing with your education? Okay, so this is not a season for just knowing what God is like. Not a season for us to know what God has called us to do. It's a season for us to engage with what God is doing and who he's called us to be. And so there is a shift in the atmosphere, and we have to understand that God is turning some things around. And so the thing that is going to change in this church and in the church at large is that we are not going to just hear from God clearly. We are going to clearly obey and engage in what God is doing. Now, that should excite you, because you know what God does? Oh, he raises the dead, he heals the sick, he casts out demons. Jesus was the exact depiction of the Father. And when you start having results like that, it won't be hard for you to continue. And so I asked Teresa to come up here. Oh, because I am resisting what Satan had tried to throw on me. And so I'm here in faith.
And as you can see, she's fully able and capable, but she does this to trick me.
I do not.
I don't feel that good. So I need you to come and back me up. So here I am backing her up, and she needs no backup, as you can see. But she does it on, yeah. So.
No, because that's wrong. That's wrong. I'm calling her out. Okay. Because she is a prophet. This is like family time.
Yeah.
Okay, so because she is a prophet, she gets pieces of the puzzle that I don't. And when we get together and talk about it, it becomes synergy. And then both of us explode. And so and that's really true. Yes, and May too. May wasn't there, but May is also called to be a prophet. So when I talk to Tirsa, she knows how to give me a different view. She's always looking a little bit from the side or from the front. She looks at it differently because I've been doing this a long time, and I need different thought processes. And she has different thought processes than me. So we make a good team, and that is why she is up here. So behave
yourself.
Okay,
because we make a good team.
Okay.
I'll receive it. Okay, so... one thing that I said, I'm like, oh, I'm desperate to get everything they have in all of these sessions and bring it back to our church family that isn't here with us for these 5 days. That's a big ask. So I'm like, I brought all six of my family members, so I didn't have to bring it back to them. I drug them there.
That's true.
They're still recovering from an 8-hour drive, by the way. So, but yeah. They were all glad they were there. They all got personal ministry, some great impartation. Everybody came back changed.
Yes.
But we don't want it to stop there. We want to bring it back to our church family and impart to you guys as much as we received, if that's possible. And God said there's no distance in him, right? So the most impactful part of the 5-day, when we took everybody's information, like what do you feel is most important? What should we impart to the church family? It really was this shift. That song was so powerful. So Alu, Nathan, worship team, thank you. It's shifting. The atmosphere has shifted. Yep. How many of you agree the atmosphere has shifted? And we all know it. We can all feel it. It is darker than it's ever been. But the church is now shifting to burn brighter than it ever has. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
How many of you are getting dreams at night? And maybe you hadn't done that in other seasons. How many of you are hearing God more clearly? And maybe there was like a little bit of a muted voice before. Mm-hmm. God's getting ready to move mm-hmm. his church into their next position, where a lot of you are already there. Some of us are still moving into that spot. Mm-hmm. But they reiterated again, we are coming into a place of a position of a warrior. We're in a war. Now, when you're in a war, you can minister by peace, but you have to minister by power. There's no question. Jane used this often, awesome example of like one prophet is like, Jane, you need to rest. It's a time of season of peace. The next one is like, Jane, why are you in the back? You need to get up. We're in a war and you need to press. The next, Jane, rest. She's like, God, one of us is confused. Love that. I thought that was so good. And he said, no, I'm teaching you how to war mm-hmm. while you are at peace. There is a way to do it. The world needs to see yeah. that level of peace in us
yeah.
that is beyond understanding while we still pursue the enemy, while we still take down, Amen. You know, the mindsets that are incorrect. You can break in anytime here.
Okay. Don't worry. I will.
Okay. You can't talk about miracles without having your own testimony. For this next phase, he wants to touch us and make us a sign and a wonder. I remember the day I was knocked off my horse, and I've never been the same since. So not only that God touched you, but he changed you. Mm-hmm. When he touched Paul and knocked him on the ground, and he got up 3 days later, he was changed. If you're a prophetic voice, which all of us will be in this last day, you'll start to see that operate more and more in your lives because the Spirit of God in you is just going to bring it out of you. Getting that kind of revelation is for purpose. It is to change people. It's great that they get edified, but the goal is to be changed. And that comes through an impartation. We're fine with where we are until we realize that there's something more. And then you can't be content any longer. So my mom, not realizing she was called to the prophetic, had no problem just teaching MOPS. That's where she met Cindy and Leslie. She was a little Bible
Mothers
teacher.
Mothers of preschoolers. I couldn't stand in front of a bunch of MOPS.
MOPS.
I preached to them. It was Mothers of Preschoolers, which if you know me,
is not really.
It is not my call.
Right. But she was doing that. And
I
then
was
she, they taught my Sunday school class. They were faithful. They did a worship. They did what they knew to do. Until she knew there was more.
Yeah.
And then once you know that there's more, you can't contain that thought. You have to pursue what God's calling you to. This was my life-changing story of the 5 days I was there. Sharon Stone said she was called to minister at a church. She's running behind. The flight was late. So she's flying into the church. They're prolonging worship. So they're bringing her right to the platform. And on her way by, she sees a young boy. She thinks he's 15, and he's crying on the steps. He's young. So they bring her up. It's time for her to minister. She gets right into it. She calls out three men, has them stand up, getting ready to give them a prophetic word. She stops. She said, that young man on the steps crying, somebody go get him, bring him to me. Brings the young man to the front. She said, God said, what has meant to destroy you won't. You will not be sat down. You are going to continue in ministry. What happened in South America is irrelevant to God. And you're going to minister powerfully. God is going to bring you a wife. She goes, I believe nothing that I said because I believe this kid's 15. So I have no idea why God just had me deliver this word. It makes no sense. And I don't even think I agree with it. I just say what I'm hearing. I prophesy to the three. I go on to minister to that church. That's all I know about. Years later, she finds out that young man was a missionary. His wife had an affair in South America, and the elders of the church decided to set him down and that he was not going to continue in ministry because of what had just happened. The three men she called out were the three elders that made that decision. God turned that all around for that young man. He became a powerful minister. At that point, when she got the story back, 22,000 souls he had seen come to the Lord, 6 people raised from the dead. She never knew. Never knew. Years after that, a young man comes to her. He says, you don't know me, but I was in that service. And I was 11. And my dad was one of the elders. And I saw this all go down, and I knew they were going to sit him down, and I saw what God did. And that's the day that I said, if that's what a prophet does, I want to be one. Then you feel differently. Prophets, when you prophesy, there's a lot of responsibility. It's not super exciting. I got news for you. Sometimes you have to speak things you don't want to. Sometimes you have to ship atmospheres that are a lot harder than this one.
Yeah.
So it's not all fun and games, but when you can see the power of God transform lives like that, then you're like really ready. So stories like that, continual examples. You know, we all heard, you know, set yourself on fire because people come watch you burn. This is the shift that God's bringing to the church. To move into the ecclesia, which is the empowered and the chosen. The church that knows who they are and is moving forward with purpose. And is not able to get distracted by, you know, COVID-19 or political atmospheres. We're here to change all of that. And we do that by the word of God. One of the greatest things they disclose, like, is the sword of God. When they talk about the sword of God, wait, I wrote
you
it down
so I didn't get it wrong.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, how many of you want those kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles
yes.
following you?
Yes.
All right, stand to your feet. I declare, Lord.
I declare, Lord.
That I am the same,
I am the same
as any other Christian,
that
has been called
by you.
And
my desire
is to not just know about these stories,
but
perform these miracles. And so I decree today that every hindrance in my body, in my mindsets, in my past are broken, and I am rising up, and I am becoming fierce for you, and I am changing the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your mighty Son. And I thank you, God. You have installed me even right now and released me to be all that you've called me to be and to do what you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, I claim it and I will act on it. Amen. Okay.
So we did a lot of declaring. Oh, yeah. We did a lot of declaring and proclaiming and using our voice to speak things out while we were there. There were a lot of times we had to shift atmospheres that were going on even, you know, in the nation and how dark it got. There was a whole session where Jane just went through and declared righteousness over a lot of darkness. But it talked so much about how powerful our voice is meant to be and how we misuse it. We misuse the sword. So we don't want to be the ones that just give diagnosis. We want to be the ones that speak things into being.
Explain that.
So when we're used to edifying, exhorting, right? When we're giving a word, and so a lot of times we'll say, you know, our words of wisdom, and it's maybe something physical. It's one thing to give a diagnosis. Mari, you're suffering with headaches. Stand. I'm going to pray for you. It's another thing to say, God is locating that specific nerve that's pinched, and that headache will cease right now in the name of Jesus.
And forever.
See the difference?
Yeah.
So it's locating it and speaking truth and replacing the lie of the enemy. Speaking it and breaking the power of the enemy in every instance, in every situation. And part of that is just really knowing who we are and the power that we have because we have downgraded it. They talked about the past church and the ecclesia, what they're calling the new church, the empowered, the chosen church. This is a different, this is a shift. They said this is not a time for a lot of that. It's time for a lot of, and not only are you not going to have headaches anymore, you're going to notice everybody in the room that has one and lay hands on them and they're going to recover.
See, that's
it's, you have been healed to access that healing power for others. There's more to it. There's more to the story, which gets me super excited because there's a time where I'm just like, if I have to sit in this chair one more time, and it's a joke with us always because I always want to get I want to move the chairs out. And then, but then I'm a church. Now I'm a chair sitter. I just sit in the chair every week, and it makes me crazy. So we don't have to be like that anymore. We can come, be a part, encourage each other, be here for each other. The church is important when you look at the fact that the church needs each other to empower each other, to bring new revelation, to group together, to become soldiers. Soldiers don't go out to war alone. Mm-mm. They have a group of people that they depend on that are going to help move them forward in their cause. The church is the place where we get that reinforcement, but the world is where we're being sent. So it made sense to me for the first time maybe ever, and she's very grateful. The army is radical revolutionary soldiers. You can't call peace in a time of kingdom conflict. That was tough for all the phlegmatics in the room because we want to declare peace on all sides, but we can't. Sometimes there is not peace to be called. There's war to be called. There's an assignment to be had. You need to know my voice. The church has been great at receiving the word and writing our notes, repeating back, but we are called out and empowered. Not compromising the word, he has not lost his power. No one in the new, this was so good. No one in the New Testament was killed because they loved Jesus. No one in the New Testament was even killed because they worshiped Jesus. They were killed because they're a revolutionary threat. That's why they were martyred in the New Testament.
And you know what their revolutionary threat was? It was not against the current government. The revolutionary threat was they stood for something higher than the government. And I want you to know you stand for something higher than government. I mean, I believe that you need to cast your vote wisely and according to God's standards. But I will say that whoever is in Washington, if Jesus is Lord, then Jesus still has the highest authority over what occurs. He has called us to the attention of knowing that the church needs to start speaking to atmospheres, and that much, much more will be won by how we conduct ourselves under the authority of God in the spiritual that will affect the natural. I'm not saying there are people that are called to be in politics. There are people that are called, I'm not saying that we're throwing all of that out. I am saying as a Christian, we have to understand we have been endued with power from on high, and our words are more weighty than a vote. And so how this nation goes is not just about the vote. How this nation goes is about those warriors who are arising with the word of God in their mouth, that are speaking to atmospheres, that are going out to the highways and byways and getting people to have a radical change in their life. Because a few people with a radical change in their life cause many to have radical changes in their life. And so the radical shift that needs to happen is already residing in you. You may not have been introduced to it yet, but I am determined you're going to get introduced to radical. The right way, the radical. The radical for Jesus, the radical for what is right, the radical for how you portray God to the earth, the radical for how you use wisely your words, the radical of how you pull down strongholds out of your mind and you only speak those things that God is speaking to you, the radical that makes sure you are aligning yourself every day with God's manifest presence and with his agenda of what he has for you to do that day. That's radical. The church has come to this place of, you know, we know what's right, so we'll do what's right, we'll look right, we'll talk right, we'll hang out with each other because, you know, at least we agree on something. But that is over as far as God is concerned, because he's looking for his church now to arise into a place where they don't care if they are irritating to others, as long as they do it in love. Irritate and be radical as long as you do it with the intention that they are going to come to a new place of understanding of how much he loves them and how he can change their lives. And so the stories are great, but the stories that are real to you, the things that hit you, like the thing that hit Tirsa, I mean, You know, I liked that Sharon said, she said, Lord, what we did earlier, I want to be a part of what you're doing. You know, I heard that story about somebody raising somebody from the dead. I want to raise somebody from the dead. So her next airplane ride, somebody died on the plane in front of her, sitting next to her. She said, God, that's a little bit radical. I mean, you know, and she goes, like, I'm not in charge. All these authorities are coming, and they're trying to take care of her. And she goes, I'm just, like, pointing at her going, live. Just live and don't die. Just come alive. You can't die on the plane with me next to you. I just prayed that prayer, live and not die. And after 20 minutes, that woman came alive again. Now, do you think everybody on that plane had a different rendition of how big God was? Well, that was a poor result. If you were sitting next to someone who died on the floor and a woman said, live and not die, and she came alive again, would you be impressed? Yes. Would you want to know how that happened? Yes. Okay. And so God is causing us to trust him at a different level, but always for the benefit of others, knowing him for the God that he truly is. And so that is why we have to have revelation and why we are in a revolution against darkness.
Can I add to the revolution? Because there's another story that I think fits here really well. So revolutions are fought to bring change, right? We all agree.
Yes.
So we're in a revolution because we need change. We need a shift, right? We all agree that we are definitely fighting for change in our atmosphere, in our nation, sometimes in our families, in our cities, etc. So Sharon, being an international prophet, has built a reputation of being very accurate. So this particular time, they brought her into a huge meeting of government leaders. And this one leader was Ministry of Defense. Defense, Jeff? I don't remember. Defense. In an unfavorable country. We're just going to put it that way. And Sharon said, I had a word from God for him. I did not want to give because I had my own bias. That happens, right? So she had to press into the Spirit and be like, God, I am going to speak your word without any pollution. Let it be a pure flow. So she said, I shut my eyes because I had to, because she didn't really want to do this, but she did.
She obeyed
God.
She didn't really like him
either. No, there was nothing good going. This was not a soulish word. This was definitely a Spirit of God word. And she said, I shut my eyes and I ministered to the man with my whole heart, she said, and I felt something under my hand, and it was his head. He had come over and bowed down and put his hand on his head. He was bowing before her, and he said, I am a man that recognizes a higher authority than mine. And I asked that you pray for me and bless me. And she said, he wasn't talking about me. He was talking about the Spirit of God in me. This was probably the first time he encountered the God with the power that he could recognize. Listen, God transforms nations like that. I'll never forget a story of World War II where they were picking up bombs that weren't detonating. And they couldn't figure out why the bombs weren't detonating. And then they started to dissect them. And one of them had a wrapped note that said, this is the only way we can help right now. They were putting bombs together without any ammo in them so that when they were dropping, they weren't detonating. So they were fighting the battle for us on the other side. And that's how they could help. Let me tell you, God is very strategic and he's very creative. Mm-hmm. And nations change through hearts of men. So you don't know where it'll bring you or who you're speaking to or what impact that will have. But every time you hesitate and you walk a different direction when God's asked you to deliver a word to someone, you don't know if you've just missed changing a nation. If you look at it that way, every morning looks
important.
Different.
Okay,
back to you. I was just interrupting. You want me to keep going?
I was so interested in that.
That's the whole story.
Go ahead.
Okay. We have to look to a higher standard. One of the best things. Oh, do we read the Word of God as a source of comfort?
I love this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we read the Word of God to give us additional wisdom and knowledge? For sure. Yeah. Do we look to it for how we raise our families, how we conduct ourselves in business?
Well,
is it our guideline? Is it all of these things that it has become to us? But do we look at it as the most challenging book we have ever read? Because if we're not looking at it like that, we've missed the whole point of the New Testament. There are so many challenges and so many points that God is making that life is not, the Bible is not there just to be a comfort. It's to be an exhortation for us to change, to be different, and to push a revolutionary idea that the kingdom of God will become the kingdom of this world. Like, we have to make it ready, like get people to awaken to it. The sword of the Spirit is, when you translate that, that word is rhema. The rhema is the word that comes out of your mouth, and that's what pushes back darkness, cuts off cancer, changes situations, moves things. If we recognized how much power our words carry, we would speak differently. I can't tell you how many stupid things I say in a day. But I've realized since I've gotten back how many they are. My kids at home, they started calling me Mamageddon, because every time I would send them something, it was like, and by the way, all of this that you're seeing is biblical, the world's ending. So they're like, Mamageddon, Mamageddon, Mamageddon. But the more that I spoke it, the more that I'm empowering. What I need to be saying to my children is, the darker it gets, the brighter we need to burn. The more that we see the end approaching, the more passionate we need to be for what God's telling us to do. Like, really speaking out the truth and the power and what God is asking me to say, not just reiterating what I'm hearing on the news or what. Oh, it's very cool, though, to me, the stuff that is lining up with the Bible and what's happening throughout the world. It's actually mind-blowing, and it's kind of cool to see that the Bible never misses. But beyond being cool, move on. Don't live there, you know? We are using our mouth, the realization that there's power in our words, and we need to use them as weapons. Okay. That's that whole point.
Okay. Okay, so sometimes, every time that God has a need for his church to operate differently, he relies upon people who are willing to let go of the old. And so people are still waiting for normal to come back. And normal kind of means that we're satisfied with the way church is, we're satisfied with being together, we love the word, we get together. I mean, this church is very... It has been favored by God. I'm so blessed that God has called Liberty together and the people here, because we do stick together and we do know the word and we do believe in the word. We trust the word. We speak the word. We have a lot going on for us. And so we have a great foundation. But remember that God took everything off of these walls at the beginning of the year, because he said, I'm taking off everything that isn't foundational truths so that I can rebuild it my way. Well, I didn't know what he was talking about. I just had to take down some of my favorite prophetic things that God has ever said, which makes no sense in the natural. But what God was saying is, the things that you used to operate by and that were real to you then, you know, and there needs to be a awareness and a realness about what this time frame is about. And although those things are still true, what is the word of the Lord right now? And how will you begin to lead a people to actually be different during this time frame of history? And so if I relied on the old, we would just keep doing what we've always done. And it's not bad, but it's also not now. So sometimes we have to be willing to shoot the old ways down. So our mindset of how church looks, how we function in it, like, I see a bunch of people sitting in these chairs that have so many gifts that need to be utilized right now, but you are still wondering how that you are going to function in your gifts. Or maybe you don't know that you have gifts, or maybe you've never functioned in your gifts, and so you don't know how to release yourself in those gifts, and so you're not reaching your potential. But this is not a time for us to wonder about that. It's a time for us. Listen, when you got saved, did someone teach you how to give a testimony? Or did you just give a testimony? And so what God is doing is he's causing us to come alive in the spirit to a different level. And that is going to happen by hunger. And if you're not hungry to go further in God, that is going to be a problem for you. Because passion is what is needed if you want to why aren't signs, wonders, and miracles happening? Because the people of God have not stayed passionate about what he's like and what he's doing and what his thoughts are. You know, Jesus said, I don't do anything without my Father. Well, when is the last time you got up and said, okay, Father, what are you doing? Because I want to do it with you. And you did that all throughout your day. And so the people of God have got to quit coming to church just to hear what the pastor has to say, although she's really good. And then say, that was a great sermon. And then you go home and you don't apply it to your life. That can't be the way. There has to be a river of God that flows in this church, that starts from the front, that goes all the way through everybody sitting in the church until they are in the river so much when they go out, they are the river for other people. And it's not about your title. It's about how much you suck the anointing and got close to God so that you can operate the way God's called you to operate. And so the shift is that we're going to have to change the way we personally are functioning. What Teresa had said earlier is instead of just diagnosing. And so even we are great at seeing somebody that has a need and we cry with them, we pray for them, we help them in any way we should. That's good. And all of that's nice. But diagnosing a problem and being the answer to the problem is who the church is supposed to be. That means that not only do I have to see that there is something going on in your life, I have to be a bold enough person to say, you need to stop doing that. You need to get away from Satan's tactics, and here's how. And then release the truth of what God has to say about them at the very root base of what Satan has done to get them off course, and then cause them to fall in love with the one that just freed them from their torment.
Can we do it right now? The whole time she's talking, I'm feeling like, at some point, I was going to share this, so I feel like now's a good time. So during the pandemic, I feel like a lot of us fell into the trap of the enemy in many, many ways. Mine was I became a wine drinker. My poor mom, she hates this, but it did happen. And so I felt like trapped in this whole place.
I want to just say, if you drink wine.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay, all right.
You know, everybody walks there.
Everybody freaks out.
Okay. Everybody works out their own salvation with fear and trembling. But mine was that. And the enemy can trap you in a place where it's God tells you to stop and you don't, now it's sin. If God doesn't tell you to stop, in Italy, they drink wine at every dinner. I use that as my defense often. If it's wrong for you, though, it's wrong. Let God be God and every man a liar, right? If God's calling it out in you, then here's the big problem with me drinking too much. I knew God told me to stop and I was disobedient. Now, how am I going to minister to someone in a restaurant when I'm carrying this burden? There's no free. I have captivated myself into a box where I'm ineffective. Now, if that's you, and it does not have to be wine, you have bought into the lie of the enemy, and it has made you ineffective.
Yeah.
Because the enemy brings it to your mind, and you walk away going, I have no right to say that to someone. If that's you, tell me that you're here, and I'm not the only one. Does anybody else feel like that's something the enemy's trapped them into? Nope, I'm not worthy. I'm not ready. When I'm perfectly clean and standing before God holy, I'll be able to minister more. So there are a couple of you that the enemy will just use whatever it is, whatever it could be, something minor. It could be gossip. That's a big thing for women. I don't have that. Praise ye the Lord. It's never been something that tried to trap me, but this is. So for those of you that have that going on, for you and for me, and for everyone that we're supposed to be touching out there that is missing out, I'm gonna pray, because that's what we're gonna do. This is all about impartation.
Let me further that a little bit more, since two people answered that call. I don't believe you. So I'm just gonna be the prophet and call you right out. Is that there are things in your life that do not line up with what God has told you to already do. You're holding on to anger. You're holding on to bitterness. You're holding on to vision. You're holding on to unforgiveness.
Judgment.
You're holding on to judgment. You are holding on to sin in some way because you are not lining up to who God has called you to be, and you like it somewhat because it has become a part of your personality. So you think, well, it's just the way I am. Well, no. The way you are is a redeemed person from any tactic of the enemy to hold you back from functioning in the reality of what heaven has for you. And so if God is not flowing through you the way he needs to, there is a blockage and you are it. So there is some mindset that you have. There's some agreement that you have. And so you need to be honest with yourself and you need to hate it so that we can get on with what God has called us to do. Because let me tell you, the biggest lie of the enemy is that when you serve God, it's going to cost you something. Well, when you serve God, here's what it's going to cost you. All the sin, all the ridiculousness, all of the stuff that's been holding you back, it's going to cost you getting rid of all of that. And when you do, you're going to go, why did I ever hold on to it in the first place? This is ridiculous. I'm so sad that I ever fell for that, because now I feel full and fulfilled. So all of the tactics of the enemy is to just take you, if he can just get you one step away from where God has caused you to be at this time frame of history, to be a world changer, a radical revivalist, a healer, a prophetess, a person of God that releases the word and shifts atmospheres, then he's happy because he's reduced you at least a percentage. And if he can't get you to go to hell, he'll just reduce you into being ineffective. Yeah. Now, if you would like to be more effective, then I think you have something to declare today. So if you'd like to be more effective, stand up.
Thanks, Mom. She just didn't want us three to be like the only ones. Yes, that does kind of incorporate everybody, but you know in your heart what it is that the enemy is using to dilute you, and we're just not going to be diluted anymore. I'm a big, I am very transparent, but it is also my personality, so I have no problem. I feel like the more transparent, the more freedom. But you all, now that are standing, you just have your own discussion with God, whatever it is that you need to do. But right now, Lord, I just thank you, God, that there is freedom. There is freedom in you, God. And when we know there's more, and when we see the power of God operate and the effectiveness of it, God, we want it. We want more of it. We want to be so filled up with you that there is no room for anything else, that we can't be distracted, that we cannot be deluded, that we would just be holy as you are holy, God. Help that be our thing.
Help them do it.
So, go ahead.
No.
What do I say? So,
help them to declare and decree.
Okay, so I declare from this day forward, I will not fall into the trap of the enemy, believe any of the lies that he tries to tell me, fall back into old habits that are contrary to the word of God.
They're contrary to the word of God.
And the word of God to me.
And the word of God to me.
I will stay fully obedient.
I will stay fully obedient.
And committed.
And committed.
To my destiny.
To my destiny.
And take my position.
And take my position.
On the front lines.
On the front lines.
To see change come.
To see change come.
In myself.
In myself.
My family.
My family.
My city.
My city.
My country.
My country.
And the world.
And the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now.
Well, I feel better, so thank you.
And you should all feel better, because let me tell you whose voice that you believe the most. Yours.
Yours, yeah.
So when you confess it, there's a reason why there's a lot of declaring and decreeing that's going to have to go on. It's because when you get engaged in it with yourself, it's different than hearing somebody else saying it. When you begin to engage in it, you also begin to engage in it. Okay, so I'm going to tell you part of my story right now. Is that You know, there has been, obviously, there's been an attack against the church, not just Liberty, because, I mean, I know so many pastors. Anyway, since 2020, it has been challenging, to say the least, and there's been a wondering of how in the world are we supposed to build? How are we supposed to build in the midst of a pandemic and all of the fear and all of the chaos that was going on and all of the lies and everything that was released? And so, you know, you get to the point where you just are like, I really don't know how to build except for to keep people hearing the word of God, right? And so, but I have said this for years, and people that are around me on a regular know this is true. I keep saying all people really need is to have an encounter with God. People need encounters with God. And so in many services, a couple weeks ago, I was just on the floor when you came in. People like wonder, what is the pastor doing on the floor? We need encounters with the Lord. And so while we were there, Randy Clark was one of the speakers. And so Randy Clark is just very matter of fact. So when he was talking about impartation. And so he put together a really good foundational scriptural truth of how impartation works. That when someone who has been active in something that God has used them for, they are carrying that and they are able to impart it to others. But when you start seeing results is when people start believing that that's true. So he started talking about it, and in all of his talk, he brought out many testimonies of many people that had been healed and the many miracles that happen whenever he is, wherever he is, because he believes that miracles are going to happen. So this is one of those shifts in our mind, is that we hope miracles could happen. We've asked God for miracles to happen. But we're not really engaging with a risk to see if they will happen through us. Because going further with God is risky. Because sometimes you believe that you believe. And you're 100% set on the way that this is going to go. And sometimes it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. And then our initial reaction is usually, I tried that. And then you just settle back down. But I want you to know that everybody that has ever raised anybody from the dead usually did not do that the first time they prayed for someone. Every person who brought healing to many people started by failing with many people. And so you have to be determined in your own self that this is God's will, whether or not I see the results right now. I am not giving up my relationship with God about the end result that is apparent at the moment, because God has more for us than we are walking in. And if we don't hold on to that truth, then we are just going to stay mediocre. And yuck. Yes, yuck. Everybody say yuck.
Yuck, yuck.
I hate mediocre. And so, but, and yet, I'm mediocre.
No, you're not.
Well, okay.
You're famous in hell.
I am famous in hell. That is true. But I would like to be effective on earth more than I am now, just like we all said. Okay, so now we're in that session, and he gets to the end, and he goes, okay, I'm gonna do some impartation. But I loved his attitude, because here's the other thing. Great people don't have to prove that they're great or that they have greatness in
Amen.
Them. And he just goes, I'm just the donkey.
Yeah.
I'm just the donkey bringing the truth. I don't have to be the guy. You know, I don't have to have a title. I'm just the guy that is doing what God, I'm telling you what God is going to do right now. And you can receive from God right now.
He said, don't come to me to have me lay hands on you. I don't have any great stories. The great stories are the people I've laid hands on. Those are the people you want praying for you. Those are Heidi Baker, like her yeah. real turn in her ministry that launched her into everything she is now came from him laying hands. He said, I'm just the donkey that brings Jesus into the room. Jesus does everything else. If you're looking for that, go find one of these hundreds of people I pray for that have such an amazing ministry.
But the point is that he knows that because of his obedience to God, multitudes are now stepping out in things that they couldn't have stepped out before. And so he said this, and it was very specific. He said, if you want an impartation, you can come to the front, but only if these things are going on in you. Either there is a fire that you feel on you, like you can actually feel the fire, you're hot, and you can't explain it's not natural hotness, or there's a weightiness on you which is, I've taught you guys, it's the kabod of God. It's the glory of God that is weighing on you. It's weighty. And so he said, otherwise, you're just coming forward, and I can't promise you that God is actually moving on you. You can get this at your seat. You don't have to come forward. I'm just saying if you're going to come forward, it has to be these. And so I already could hardly handle the weightiness that I had on me. But so I went to the front. And as I was going to the front, it was as though the carpet looked like a wave. So it was going like this. And so I was looking at it going, I wonder if I'm going to walk on that without it, you know, without me falling. It looked very bumpy and moving. And so I said, well, this is supernatural, so I'll be fine. So I went to the front. I was holding on to the back of the front chair because I didn't really want to fall down. I'm like, I don't need to fall down. Don't care if I fall down. I just want to be, you know, in the heaviness of God, which the more you went forward, the heavier it got for me. Okay, so anyway, eventually I ended up going down on the, I don't even know when that happened. The point being, on the floor, God said, the wave that you saw on the floor is the wave of my glory I'm going to bring to you and through you to others so they could experience the same. Then there was a movement of my head going like this, and he said, wherever my wind blows, that's where I want you to go. As the wind blows, go that direction. As the wind blows, go that direction. And there was so much more, and I can't remember hardly any of it. And so I'm laying on the floor. I get up. I can't talk to people. We then went on to go see Sharon Stone, and Eric Taylor was across the table from me. He goes, I don't think I've ever seen you speechless like this, Pastor Don. You've never been totally speechless. But I still was in that heavy, weighty. I was almost afraid that if I opened my mouth, something was going to leave. And I didn't want it to leave. I wanted to keep it. And so, but then Sharon started talking, and it got even worse. And so here's why I'm telling you this story, is that when we have these encounters with God, where heaven and what God's will is and what his heart is, and it meant more to me than any substance, any person, nothing natural was soaking into me. There was nothing natural about it. It was a supernatural encounter with God. My father. And so in that, well, why is that important? Because that's going to still keep coming out of me. There were waves that came to me and through me, and it's going to keep coming out of me because I was willing to be a vessel through which he could flow. Now, when God offers you these kind of encounters, there has to be an acceptance of it, no matter what you feel like, no matter what your thought process. That's weird. It is weird to the natural. How can I explain that? Anything that God does out of the ordinary, we think is weird because we're still operating in the natural realm, which we are so far above, and we forget who we are. And so, but you have to be willing to be made the donkey. You have to be willing to look like a fool. You've got to be willing to go after whatever God is throwing down and pick it up so that you can operate the way he wants you to. And you know what? You're going to be the happiest you've ever been. The end result of the movement that God is already in, that we're grasping, is joy. Joy. His people are going to have more joy in this season than you've ever had. And you know why? Because we've been through so much. He's restoring it and turning it around. And so we're going to be a bunch of joyous, happy Christians that know who we are. And we're going to do what he tells us to do. And we're going to see the results of what he tells us to do. Happy, happy, happy people. Because now we get to see God move the way God always wanted to move. Hallelujah. And so when God is moving, you, that's why you need to interact. That's why you need to be a part of it. Don't just sit and hear words that people are saying. Just say, what is this atmosphere, even today? What is this atmosphere? Because we are operating right now in what heaven is saying. What is this atmosphere bringing to me? Why? What difference is this going to make in my life? And the difference that you get today is up to you. You can either go, oh, they talked nice and they had good stories. Or you could go, I felt something in the room that stirred me up on the inside that made me want to be better and do more for God. And I know and I believe that I can and I will. And now I'm going to hunger and thirst after God, and he's going to fill me to the overflow. And there is going to be a shift and a change in my life in the way that I respond. Hallelujah. And so there's got to be the, you know, the willingness. So the people who went on this trip had to pay their own way. They had to come up with money. They had to take time off of work. They had to arrange their schedules. They had to forever. It took us to find places to stay. You know, we didn't just go there and pretend we were at a conference and skip all of the sessions because we wanted to go to the beach. We went to the conference to go to the conference to hear what God was saying so that we could bring it back for all of you. Amen. And so that's got to be when you walk into the church, you need to come and say, what is the atmosphere going to speak and deposit inside of me today that I can go out and utilize today in my life to bring change to someone else? Because God's heart is always about you and the people you're going to affect. And so there's got to be a stirring that is going on at all times. And that stirring depends on your receptivity. Amen? Hold your hands up high and say, I receive.
I receive.
I want to be receptive. To everything. That the Lord is doing.
Holy Spirit.
I want you.
To help me.
To receive from you. And to obey you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We had a session where we could sign up for deliverance, which it's funny because Farrell signed up for deliverance. I'm like, for what purpose? But he did go anyway and went down to get prayed for, and he received. There were some cool things that God had for him that were really awesome. But mine, I came with a full list of things I felt like God could deliver me from, and I was sure they were just going to start lining them all out and make sure I was all clear before they let me go. And my ministry was, he said, I feel to impart joy. Joy. Joy is giving. God's giving you back your joy beyond measure and more than you've ever experienced it before. That was my deliverance. I walked out and went, that is the weirdest deliverance session I've ever been. I don't know how I feel about that. And Farrell said, it's covert. Think of all the things that the enemy, the strongholds that you're naming, fear, you know, resistance, like anything that you're naming, all of that is now been replaced with joy. And when you look at your joy coming from the Lord, there's no room for fear. When, you know, anxiety, any of the nonsense that the enemy is bringing against me was totally replaced by that spirit of joy. So sometimes God's just going to have you minister specific things that have a whole underlying reason, but he's going to give you the words to say that are going to be really impactful. And then immediately when we got back, like dreams, clear air, dreams again, like visions for what God wants, starting to plan for the future. We are never going back to the way it was. the normal is never coming back. Like everything from pandemic on has changed, it's shifted. And so just positioning ourselves to a new normal is where we need to be and we need to stay.
Amen. Amen. Are you guys receiving stuff from this? Okay. So your dreams can come true. And it's not wishing upon a star that is going to make it happen. It is when your dreams align with God's dreams. And that's what he's doing. There is such a need. There is such a desire in God's heart right now to get his people to engage with him, to know that he is for you. He is 100% for you. He is not against you. The lies of the enemy that like Tirsa was saying, we accuse ourselves of things that we think we have to be, you know, perfect before God can use us. And the truth is that nobody is perfect but Jesus. Oh, an abduction in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Is it an abduction?
Oh, you're thinking it's a code red or whatever?
Yeah.
What are the Amber Alert? No?
Oh.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So
we could have prayed if it was.
That's what I was going to do. So where was I? Say it. Dream. Yes, we can dream God's dreams.
Yes.
Okay. So God is dreaming about you being fulfilled. God is dreaming about you having joy. God is dreaming about you being effective because he knows that this is what will satisfy you. Now, you have to understand, though, that along with the dreams of God comes the correction of God.
Yeah.
So in his dreams, you know, he wants you to be the most effective. And what we've been doing today is exposing some of the things the enemy can use in your life to keep you to not be completely open for him to flow through as much as he wants to. And so that is what he's working on, is to get us to understand that he is for us. He's not trying to take something away from you. He is trying to get something to you and through you that will satisfy the longing of your heart that maybe you didn't even know you had. And so God is appointing this season and times for his end time ministers. And I mean by ministers, all of you. You're all ministers. People go, well, what am I called to do? You're called to minister. You're called to be a minister to other people. You're supposed to be a light in the darkness. So, you know, so the Lord is shifting things. Even I know, I spoke to Nathan on the phone. No, I texted him. Nathan, stand up. Please. Okay, come a little closer. Not real close, just a little closer.
Just a little closer.
Yeah. That's good. You could come. It could come a little closer. Okay. Right there. I love you so much. Okay. So what I had texted you was this: that there are new songs that are coming out during the season, and there's going to be a shift in what you're bringing, and you are called for such a time as this, Nathan. This is your season of coming forth in a different way. And so the prophetic anointing that you operate now is about ready to multiply in an exponential degree. And it's because you have been going after the heart of God and you've been willing to write down what he's saying and to apply it to the music and that he has given you a gift for. But the Lord says, I don't want you to look at this as music anymore, or that this is a gift that you have in order to bring people in. He said, I want you to understand that what you're doing is releasing what is needed for this time frame of history, and that you are going to be prophesying into the atmosphere, you're going to bring new words that people haven't even thought of, new understanding of what God is doing, and I'm counting on you to let go of the old and bring in the new. And you are one of those that I have mandated this for. And if you will accept the mandate, I will give you the ability. And through that ability, many will come to understand who they really are. Because this season is shifting from glorifying just me to get people in so that they can feel better about themselves into declaring who they are and getting them to move into what I am doing through you and through them for this season and for all the generations, not just yours. But this will be a shift in the generational thinking because they are so self-centered right now. You will be able to break the self-centeredness off of them and to get them God-centered. And this is a mandate that I am asking you to join me in. And if you will, you will see yourself coming to a different level and there will be changes in your life, for you will set time aside with me in order to hear exactly what I'm saying so that you can deliver it through your voice with the capacity and the power that I am releasing to you today. I want to know if you will accept my mandate. I accept your acceptance, says God. Now put your hands up. Father God, everybody extend your hands to him. Father God, I just thank you for what you are doing right now with Nathan, Lord. We desire this gift to come forth in him. And Lord, we agree with the mandate, Lord, and we honor it. And we thank you, God, that he is being called upon for such a time as this. And Lord, I thank you that this is going to be easy for him. I thank you, Lord, that he is going to flow in this and he is going to be surprised at all of the things that he begins to pen on a page and sing out of his mouth. And I thank you, Lord, that many will hear it and respond to it, Lord. And I thank you, God, for this launching pad that you have for him at this particular season for this particular reason. And so, God, I thank you that today is a day of transition for him out of what he has struggled in, and to now he will have ease and he will flow in the river of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When we were there, there was no, everybody was involved in worship. Everybody gets involved in worship, and I know why, because they do not allow anybody not to be involved in worship. And so I went back to the days of when I used to go to Christian International, and we were just as crazy as everyone else. And we got engaged, and we all got engaged. But I will say this, they were able to transition out of the old into the new. So when you used to go to Christian International, they were, you know, they had flowers and grapes and stuff on the stage, and they had flags of all the nations, and, you know, they had dancing at the front every single time, and, you know, they were all doing warfare, and you know, this time, the stage was clean, it was cleaned up, and it was immaculate. They had three of these screens, and whoever was running them, I call them forth in Jesus' name, that we're going to have somebody that will be able to put stuff on this screen that helps us enter in the way that they did, because there is some young person that is going to know how to do that, who is going to give their gifts to God, that is going to bring a whole different level to how we worship God in this place, and I call them forth right now in Jesus' name. No more sitting by and hoping somebody else will do it. I call him into this church and I call him into that position in Jesus' name. So anyway, everything was about engaging with what God was doing, and it's still like that. It just looks different. It's more cleaned up. They shifted with the times and the seasons, and they didn't hold to what they always felt was the best way to get in. They are now looking to however God wants to do it. But I will tell you this. In every worship service, there was at least four prophecies from different people in the congregation coming up to release prophecies. Because gifts have to be utilized in order to push forward what God is saying. Now, the thing is, you have to use the gift to push forward what God is already saying. And so you can't come up and shift it in a whole different direction. But when you know how to move with the Spirit of God, you can move with the Spirit of God and keep things going forward to a different level with your voice added. And that is what we are going to do. So things are going to shift. And that's why that's so important, Nathan. So, all right.
And Herbert did it last week.
Oh,
and Eric
did
it during the announcements.
Yep.
And we were still gone, but it was so awesome. I was like, well, there's the gifts. They just got impartation, and they're already flooding the atmosphere with that same impartation. So we're believing God that that's going to happen today.
I was writing a fasting guide, and as I was writing it, Jana sent me Herbert's typed up word, and I go, this is what I'm saying. And so I just copied and pasted his prophecy and put it in the fasting guide, because who can say it better than God said it on Sunday? So I went, this is awesome. And what the word was, it was so deep that it will mean a lot more to you in January than it even does right now, because that's the way prophecy works. Okay, I could go on, but I won't. Okay. What?
That's it?
That ain't it.
Okay. What else we got?
I know. Where's the list of them?
Here.
All right, I'm going to be done because I'm not going to carry this on, but I will tell you that there's several things I want you to understand about us going away. First of all, God told us to. Isn't that beautiful? So when God tells you to go, and you go, there's an extra blessing for your obedience. No matter what the sacrifice is, you go. Okay, now, everybody that went, received, Herbert understood that this is a season for Christians to be more active by the Holy Spirit, and that one of the things he got was that, you know, Christians have been like, going after God so they would heal somebody in their family, or they will shift something in their that has to do with their life. He goes, but they haven't been people-centered with God's heart for other people. And this is what he's doing, okay? Eric said, which I loved it, is that, you know, the natural isn't our calling.
Our agreement to everything, we'll just add our agreement. Oh. So our goal is impartation, right? So we have to make what everybody brought, you're taking home with you. Can everybody agree with that?
We're trying to lay it out there for you.
So you can have it too.
Okay.
So
I...
I love that. Okay, so yeah. Herbert's recap. We'll just do 1, 2, 3. Yes. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Yes. That's modern day amen. So Herbert's word. We agree, and we're taking that with us.
Okay.
Now you can go on to Eric.
Okay. I'm trying to get to the one. Well, because I put...
other stuff.
Oh, I opened up the wrong one. Okay, hold on. Say something while I'm doing this. Or pray in tongues, somebody. Can you believe it? Satan, you are a liar.
You are a liar. Just read Eric and you'll remember.
Oh, my goodness. He's locked my computer.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just trying to find the conference one. I do want it.
Maddie knows what she's doing.
Okay. Eric. Individual and corporate, it's necessary to see into the spiritual realm, do warfare in the spirit realm, and be proactive in the spirit realm. Do you get it? It's about the spirit realm and joining it. Yes. Okay. Individually and corporately, it's necessary to see into the spiritual realm, to do warfare in the spiritual realm, and be proactive in the spiritual realm. I'm so glad you asked for that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked for that. Because that tells me your heart is hungry for the things of the Spirit, and God's going to answer that cry of your heart.
Yes,
and so... just to have that said and be repeated is different. Mm-hmm. God's going to do it for you, Steve.
Yeah.
Individuals in the church have made progress, but there's more we can do to not respond in the natural, but to respond in the spirit. So issues in the natural are not our calling. Issues in the natural are not our calling. But dealing with those issues in the spirit is our calling so we can be more efficient. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Jane Hammond's boomerang teaching isn't going to be accomplished by us in the natural, but in the spirit. And that is just way too much for today. But how do we release that? You're the one releasing it.
Okay. So Eric says we are going to live by the spirit, not by the flesh. Really? Everybody agree with that? One, two, three.
Yes. Thanks. Okay. Mariella, the church has been hidden for such a time as this to be the emboldened church. How many of you like that? Some of you are like, don't call me to be emboldened. Well, you are, so too bad. Shifting to its true identity, trained to see what the Father is doing, and experiencing exponential release of divine reversal. Do you like that? I knew you would. Divine reversal, right? Okay.
So Mari's encapsulated as deep calling to deep. Everything Mari got was like to a deep level of the things of God. She is going for the deep. So we all are letting deep call to deep and responding. One, two, three. Yes.
Okay. Jeff, all the prophets were saying this. Big things are coming to the church, and the church has to be ready to do things differently. The gifts are to be used together for God's kingdom. Don't try to be everything or to do everything. Do what you're called to do. Don't try to do somebody else's call. Do what you're called to do. Summarize.
And that isn't Jeff's. That's part of Jeff's. Jeff's first That's thing he true. Said when I asked him the first time was, I want to be worthy of persecution. He's like, that I will never leave me. Am I worthy of persecution? Am I doing enough? Am I standing strong? And am I going to be firm? So I override like Jeff's contribution here and say that's the thing that meant most to him at
Jeff,
the time.
Jeff, we got it firsthand. And I'm just saying.
So there you go. So we want to be worthy of persecution for the cost of Christ. One, two, three. Yes.
Some people are like, I don't know about that persecution.
Yeah.
Not it sure said worthy that, of it. It didn't say you had to come under it, but worthy of it. And in other words, you stand so strong for what is right that you don't care.
A revolutionary, right?
Yes.
The
people who may not understand your heart, you're still going to do it. All right. Cindy's is, wow. So Cindy, you know, took notes. Cindy is Cindy. And it's beautiful. But she said this. Okay. This is where we are in the timing of God. We are in a fullness of time, and God has set up things for harvest time and the fulfillment of what has been planned for the whole earth. How many of you agree with that?
Yes.
Right? So say we're being set up for harvest time.
We're being set up for harvest time.
One, two, three.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, next point.
Yeah, every one of her points is worth yesing.
The church has to escalate to get with God what God is doing now in this new season. We are here on purpose, and God chose us for this time, so we have to rise to this moment and declare we've already shifted. We've already shifted. One, two, three.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I have to be equipped for being able to give a simple invitation to Jesus in every conversation. Have a fire lit in me for souls. One, two, three.
Yes.
Yes. Advance all my praying into prophetic prayers. One, two, three.
That. Yes.
God is dealing with a big religious spirit, antichrist, deceived, twisted, Jezebel, lukewarm, unbelieving, intimidating, and compromised. It is out to destroy the church, but it is our assignment to awaken and resist it, oppose it, and be the emboldened, equipped, empowered ecclesia, called out ones. But be irritatingly offensive enough to deserve some persecution. Be supernatural. Be like my father. One, two, three.
Yes.
Okay. In this time, I have to be like Daniel, Esther, Isaiah, and the disciples. and do not fear, do not be shakable. It is no delays, nothing for things that have been hidden until now. It's up to us to get the keys for this time and get fresh strategies and do exploits. 1, 2, 3,
yes.
That's hers. Okay, that was a lot, wasn't it? Okay. Yeah. Susan, she has a lot too. Lord Jesus. Okay, the time is now. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
It's that time. As long as there is breath in your body, there is purpose.
I love that. Amen.
God gives you his glory for a purpose, not just because you want to see it. Just because you want to see his glory. No. Don't just sit there and say, God, I want to see you. God, I want to see your glory. Participate in the harvest. I got to say, 1, 2, 3,
yes.
Help train and equip the saints to evangelize. It's that time. If you don't find yourself in the middle of the harvest, you've lost your way.
Oh.
Whoa. Activate and mobilize your people to be as powerful in your evangelism as you are in your prophetic.
Yep.
Now I'm going to retrain in the prophetic. Coming up, I'm going to be doing prophetic classes again because it's how we get to learn how to sink into the power of God through the gifts. And this will help us activate. But it's not just about the prophetic. It's about all the gifts and what she's saying. And ultimately, it's about evangelism and souls. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We are in the kingdom establishment movement. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
We will move with angels. New wine is found in the cluster. Change the way that you walk, talk, and move in the spirit. Be a kingdom voice for such a time as this. It's that time. The purging we've gone through will help with the evangelist that needs to come out of you for the harvest. Amen? 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Get back to the foundation of things. He's touching our mouths in this day to call forth the glory of God. Here I am, send me. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
When they communed with Jesus, their eyes were opened. Spend more time with him so that the glory will shift this year into the next. More time with him.
Yes.
1, 2, 3. Yes. Okay, that's it. So, is that it? The Pharaohs did not contribute at this moment.
We used Farrell's sermon for the recap. So Farrell's sermon last week, though, was an awesome recap. It was expectancy. He heightened our, like we can grow our faith, like we can grow any muscle. So we grow our faith, we grow our expectancy.
Oh, here it is.
We want more from God. We are expecting more from God. We believe we can raise the dead, and therefore we will. Like faith, he was very full of faith, and so
be willing to say no to our emotions and thoughts and say yes to Jesus.
Yes.
1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Okay, live a life of expectancy, because sometimes we will settle for something less than what the Holy Spirit wants to bring, and there's always more. Stand firm, and I'll finish with that. Okay, stand firm. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Okay, now and Teresa, you had stuff to say.
I said it all at the beginning.
That?
Oh, that's for my family. So I interviewed my family, and everybody got a little piece because they were all there. Dave's was the ecclesia. We need to shift into the new. Like, look for the power of God to be active in our everyday life. Look for it. Demand it. You know, what we feed grows, and what we starve dies. So shift our focus into that. Gavin's... The whole conference, what Gavin brought back was his own prophetic ministry. Surprising, I know. So his was, do not be contaminated by the world. Let me tell you, for my little middle school boy, he got that message and made it his. And I could not be more grateful. Ryan, we need to be in tune with God about what's going to happen. We need to pray the price to have a deep enough place in God that we're able to move with him. How
Amen.
Profound is my son? I'm just saying. Grayson, people have to go out of their comfort zone and help the hopeless, look beyond ourselves and take advantage of every moment. And he said we had Ukrainian missionaries that are there. So
beautiful.
I made sure the boys met them. And they're not typical Ukrainians. They grabbed and hugged them and kissed them. We were so happy to see them. That's not Ukraine's MO. It was very cool how full of God they were and that love and unity they have. Rave wasn't in the initial interview. Rave was this morning. And Rave said, the one thing that I feel needs to be imparted to the people more than anything else is... what was the thing you said? Because I didn't write it down. Help me. Oh, good. So not about your ability, it's about your availability. If you show up and make yourself available, God will work through you. And then Rave said one of the cool impartations she got is when they did deliverance for her, she's like, can I record it to share with my mom? Thank you, my daughter. And they said, no, we don't want this recorded because whatever God takes care of today, we don't want you to remember ever again. How powerful is that? There's no reason to rehearse it, review it. God will settle it. Our faith is on that. So let's continue. And God took care of all kinds of awesome things for her. She felt completely renewed and refreshed, but it's an awesome, awesome way to minister to someone, right? Is that good? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I am declaring and decreeing as your pastor and the prophet of this church that you did get an impartation a lot more than you even thought you did today. And that God is going to bring out those deposits that were put inside of you just by this service. And you're going to begin to become more aware of what God is saying for the now and be rid of the things that he said in the past that were not foundational truths. Things that need to be left behind. And that you will be activated on purpose because your heart has been pricked to go forward with God. And so I believe that all of that has occurred because that is why we are here today, is to try to release. And so I do release, Lord, all of the things that are flooding in our spirits of the people that have gone, Lord, and the people that have been seeking after you, Lord, we release it into the atmosphere, Lord, so that it is tangible for them. Lord, I thank you for these people and the people that are watching online, that they are going to see and feel and know that there was a difference in their life from this moment forward. Lord, we know that we cannot be the same because we have many things that need to be done to expand your kingdom here on earth. And so we want that, we desire it, and we receive the impartation needed to do that very thing. And we thank you for all of it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Also, if you're a part of the congregation today and you're like, listen, I need ministry. I would like to have, you know, a session where I feel like I can go through any deliverance of anywhere the enemy might be hanging me up, or you just need a prophetic time with God to like lay things out for you, you can schedule that. We have, our truth ministry is so much like what they did in deliverance. It was fantastic. So you just check at the front door. They'll give you a packet to just fill out some things, set an appointment, and you'll have trained ministers that will take time with you and get you free on many levels. So if that's something that you need, this is something that our house offers. So
okay,
praise
so
you,
let
Lord.
Me explain, because as soon as you say the word deliverance, people have visions of what they think this is.
Remember, Farrell went, so that's all I can say about that.
So, well, I did tell him to. So,
yeah, true.
But anyway, the deliverance that people need is not going to have, you know, people think of it as like an exorcism. Thank you for that. And it was not like that at all. They had many people ministering in many areas of the church at one time, and all they were doing was being led by the Spirit, taking care of things in the Spirit, and very then building you back up. And so, you know, I went on purpose. I always sign up because I don't want anything in my life that is going to hold me back from being all that God wants me to be. And so, but I was very happy that my deliverance session went like this, God is so happy with you. You have done nothing wrong. I'm like, that was deliverance for me. Yeah. Because I'm always so hard on myself trying to figure out what I've done wrong, that why isn't, you know, this happening or that happening. And God set me free by saying, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm very happy with you. Now just go for it. Hallelujah. That was deliverance. Yeah. So your mindset of what deliverance is going to be different. So don't be afraid to say, I need things to be, you know, adjusted by the words of the Lord. And so that's what really happened. And there was much more to that. But anyway, yes, that's true. We will minister to you however you need to be ministered to. Okay, does anybody have anything to say or add to? You know, I'm going to want to know what everybody got. So be thinking of those answers. Okay, so Father, we just thank you for today. And Lord, we look forward to applying this to our life. And we love you with all of our hearts. And we know you love us with all of our heart. And we know you love all of them with all of your heart. And Lord, we so desire to be a part of your end time kingdom army. We thank you for inviting us into it. And we will always give you the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You are dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Liberty Life Center. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.